Our first lesson is from the Gospel according to Luke, portion of chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Mary. And the angel, coming in to her, said, "Hail, thou who art graced, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." But when she saw him, she was disturbed by his word, and reasoned with herself what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel answering said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that which shall be born of thee holy shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy kinswoman Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God not any saying shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy saying." And the angel departed from her. Reading further from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the inhabited earth should be enrolled. This enrollment was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed wife, being great with child. And it came to pass that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should give birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For to you is born today a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. And this shall be the sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace, goodwill among men." And it came to pass that after the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the men, the shepherds, said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this saying that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was spoken to them concerning this little child. And all who heard marveled at those things which were spoken to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things which they had heard and seen as it was spoken to them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the little child, his name was called Jesus, which was so called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Our final lesson from the Gospel according to John, towards the very end of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Here end the reading. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Tomorrow is Christmas, and today we heard the story of the Lord's birth on earth, the reason we celebrate Christmas. And when the angels told the shepherds that that very day was the first Christmas, they said, "Glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace, goodwill among men." Glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace, goodwill among men. Many of us, perhaps all of us, know this phrase. It is deep within our hearts. It is the phrase, the saying, the passage that takes all of Christmas and wraps it up in just a few words. But what does it mean? Glory to God in the highest. Then, when the shepherds, having seen the Lord, departed, the word says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things which they had heard and seen as it was spoken to them. It seems that by these passages, to glorify something, or to give glory to God, means to praise him. But they were glorifying and praising, so it must be something else. It must be more than just praising. We in our culture have a concept of glory, like a soldier may get glory in battle, or an explorer may go off an adventure for glory. And that concept of glory is part of what we're talking about on Christmas. It's the concept of fame or recognition or one's name being known. In the ancient Greek culture, which the New Testament was written in their language, this concept of glory was their concept of an afterlife, in that one's name would be carried on by one's children, by one's son. So that Jesus glorifies God makes a lot of sense simply in the Greek. The Greeks who heard this story would have recognized this. But there's another use of the word glory that does not make any sense in the Greek. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. If we take our definition of the word glory to mean reputation or fame or name, and we say the reputation of God shone around them, does that quite make sense? And there we have our other definition of glory, a bright and shining light, the glory of the Lord. And that's the definition we can get from the Hebrew word that is translated glory. A bright light. One simple way of thinking about it is that glory is like a spotlight that one shines on something and says, look. It's lit up, you can see it clearly, and it's been given fame, importance, recognition, a name. And that's what Christmas is all about, glorifying God. Before Christmas, the first Christmas, God had become invisible to men. He didn't need to be, but mankind had turned their backs on the Lord, and a lot of evil was going on. It was not a good time to be on earth. It was dark, spiritually dark. And people didn't know that God wasn't just a creator, but was a human, a being of love, who loves us and wants us to love each other. So he needed to come on earth to show us all that he wasn't merely an invisible force, but was, in a way like us, human. Or a better way of putting it, that we are in a way like him, human. And so the Lord came on earth as a baby, just as we do, born of a mother, just as we are, and he grew up, just as we do, and he died, just as we do. Near the very end of his life, the Lord taught his disciples a lot of very important things. And one of the very most important things he told them was about his death. And when he told them, they didn't quite understand. And we heard that in our reading as well. And Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will straightway glorify him." Confusing words for the disciples. But knowing what the word glory means, we can know what this means. What does it mean to glorify God? And how is it that Jesus, who is God, glorifies God? By shining a light on that which was dark. By the Lord being born on earth, we can all see God. We can close our eyes and see the Lord as a person, with arms, with legs, with eyes, that God is a man. And that's the glorification of the Lord, that his human and his divinity become one. And from our perspective, that we can see it, that we're no longer in the dark. And then listen to what the Lord said next. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." There were many disciples of many different gods and cults and beliefs at the time of the Lord's birth. And most of them were pretty wicked and evil. And this is the difference of the Lord's birth and why it makes such a big difference in our lives. He has told us how to glorify him, how to make his name known, by having love for one another. That's how we give glory to God, by living a life of charity and faith to the Lord, by loving one another and all those around us. People may say, "Why do you live such a life of faith and love?" And in that way, we are glorifying God. We are shining our light at the Lord. And we're saying, look, the Lord in his word came down as a child and the Lord loves us, and so we love each other. So we can return to the shepherds. And when the angel said, "Glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace, goodwill among men," the angel told the shepherds, "Give glory to God. See the Lord." And how? By having peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And so the shepherds ran to see the Lord, now that he was in light and no longer in darkness. And when they had seen this little child and marveled, they ran and they told everyone, glorifying and praising God for all which they had seen and heard. And that's what we are to do with Christmas. Christmas is two things. It's seeing God as a little child and as a Lord, as a man, being able to see the Lord. And you can close your eyes and you can see him this very instant. That's one. And two, let everyone else see the Lord. That you have love for one another, as the Lord surely loves you. Amen.